The text for this morning is a portion of the Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings chapter 20. And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thine covenant, torn down thine altars, and killed thy prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way." This is the text. A few years ago, there was a rather short-lived television series entitled When Things Were Rotten. And this title might well be applied to Israel at the time in which our text is set. The people of Israel, as they had time after time in the past, were worshiping false gods, bowing down to idols. Ahab, who was the king of Israel at this time, would be remembered as one of the worst kings that Israel had ever had. Scripture tells us that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. He and his wife Jezebel built an altar and a temple to the false god Baal and knelt down and worshiped this false god. And all of Israel, it seems, followed the example of their king. And then in the midst of this idolatry, in the midst of all the worship of false gods, Elijah the prophet appeared before King Ahab, and standing in the presence of the king, he denounced him. And then, for 3 years, God hid Elijah in the wilderness. He provided for him, first by a stream where ravens brought him bread and meat, and then through a widow woman who took Elijah into her home. And during this time, God also performed miracles through Elijah. He provided for the household of the widow who had taken Elijah in, provided for them despite the terrible famine which was all over the land. And he also brought the widow's son back to life after he had died of an illness. And then after these years had passed, God sent Elijah back to Ahab. We know very well how Elijah, upon his return, challenged the prophets of Baal, and we know of this tremendous victory which God worked through Elijah over these men. Elijah was truly a prophet of prophets, one of God's great champions. The words of the Lord were in the mouth of Elijah, and Elijah truly did, by God's help, perform many great miracles. Realizing this, it would almost seem that the Elijah in our text this morning is a different Elijah, an Elijah with which we aren't really very familiar. This Elijah had run from the Queen Jezebel in fear for his life. Scripture tells us that he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father." And then when God comes to him in a cave where he is hiding, he tells God, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, and killed thy prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." What a strange Elijah we see before us. An Elijah who is depressed, an Elijah who is in fear for his life, an Elijah who at this time in his life is feeling very sorry for himself. What brought Elijah to such a point in his life? What put Elijah into such a deep depression? What caused him to go into such depths of self-pity? What could cause such a drastic change in a man who to this time had seemed to be such a great champion of God? This great prophet to whom God had spoken, who God had protected and provided for in his time of need, this great man of God had, in the midst of crisis, lost his faith in the almighty power of God. And even as we realize this, we realize that Elijah is not alone in these feelings, even as he was not the only one left, as he thought. God has also given us His Word through the Holy Scriptures. He has put His Word in our mouth, and He has promised that His Word will accomplish the purpose that He intends them for. He told the prophet Isaiah in words which are familiar to us, "So shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." And yet, despite this, we, like Elijah, often huddle in self-pity. Some great project, which we had great hopes for, has failed. Or some current project that we are working on doesn't seem like it's going to have much chance of success. And so we become depressed, and we begin to feel sorry for ourselves and to look at our own inadequacies. When we see Elijah and we read about him, we might have expected God to strike down Elijah in righteous anger. Surely God had good reason to be angry with him. God had provided for Elijah, had protected his life, and now Elijah has lost his trust in God. But instead of doing this, instead of striking down Elijah, God instead provides for him once more, and then orders him to return to his work. "Go, return on your way," God told him. And then he instructed him concerning the task that he wanted him to perform. We too must be a source of frustration for God at times. He has done great things for us also, just as he did for Elijah. First and foremost, we know that he saved us from eternal punishment. We know that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us so that we might have eternal life. And we know also that he daily provides for us, both physically and spiritually, forgiving us, comforting us, strengthening us, and providing for us in every way which can be imagined. And yet often, we do not trust God either. We are like Elijah. We look at ourselves when we are faced with a task which seems insurmountable. We look at ourselves and we see our own capabilities, and we see that they are very limited. And so when God tells us to do a job, we tell him instead, "No way." And still God in his love does not give up on us and forsake us. Instead of doing that, he sends his Holy Spirit to us to comfort us, to strengthen us with the gospel. And in his love, he then forgives our weaknesses. And then God tells us, as he did Elijah, "Go and return on your way." Some of us perhaps would like to see a lightning bolt or maybe hear a thunderclap to let us know that God wants us to get back to the tasks that he has set us to do. Or perhaps we would like to see a vision of a 900-foot tall Jesus. But this was not Elijah's experience, and is not likely to be our experience either. Scripture tells us that God chose to communicate with Elijah in a still, small voice. And in such a voice, he speaks to us from the pages of Scripture, showing us the work that he would have us to do, giving us the message of salvation, which he wants us to share with the rest of the world. Elijah in our text had lost sight of the plan that God had for his life. And we find this often to be true of ourselves as well. It's easy for us to lose sight of God's plan. It's easy for us to lose sight of God's plan for us. In the hectic lives which we lead, lives which can become a day-to-day test of endurance, it's easy to forget completely about God. And we know that this hectic life is going to continue even after we leave the seminary and go into the individual ministries which God has chosen for us, or as we remain at the seminary in the ministry God has given us to accomplish here. At times, the given ministry which we have may look very bleak. Some idea or plan in which we had taken great pride, in which we had placed great faith, something we had worked long and hard at has turned out to be a total flop. Or perhaps those people who usually support us, who gather around us and encourage us, seem very distant from us. They've withdrawn from us and don't seem to be supporting us anymore. At times like this, we may find ourselves saying, as Elijah did, "I alone am left." When this happens, we need God to nudge us as he nudged Elijah. We need to recapture that sense of urgency which God has given us in his message of salvation, that urgency which applies to every part of our life and our work. We have to remind ourselves that although we live in a world which is darkened by sin, in that world of darkness, we have seen the light of Jesus Christ, and we have received salvation through that light by the grace of God. Remembering this, we will receive strength to return and resume the work that God has given us to do. God said to Elijah in his time of despair, "Go and return on your way." This same voice speaks to us. The same still small voice. We need to train our ears to listen and our hearts to obey. Amen.